So this year, we've continued this series on our journey through the Gospel of Mark. We're taking it nice and slow because there is such richness in each of these stories that it is cause for us to pause and consider, why is this here? And today's passage is no exception. You may have been reading along in the plain English version, and this story we're going to encounter tonight is one that can sometimes make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. And I think it's supposed to, but it's a very exciting story of healing because it speaks deeply to our experience. And so as we journey through the words, the works, and the ways of Jesus through this series, I'm really excited by the way that people's eyes have been unlocked to the relevance of Jesus and his ministry and his kingdom, not just to what happened back then, but in terms of our practice of life and faith expression today. So I'm going to dive right into this passage and we're going to unpack it because it is quite profound. So here we are in Mark chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 22. They came to Bethsaida and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were open, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't even go into the village," or "Don't even go and tell anyone in the village." This is a fascinating healing story that we find in the Gospels. And I think when we read this story and we kind of see the encounter between Jesus and this blind man, the question that comes to mind is, why is this particular healing story included in the Gospel? Because Jesus healed a lot of people during his ministry. And we get lots of examples throughout the various Gospels of Jesus performing these incredible acts of healing. So why this one though? Why did the gospel writer choose to include this one in a subversive document, subversive message of a gospel, of a good news story? Because in this story, there's these kind of multiple lessons, I believe. Partly the disciples themselves who are there with Jesus are trying to work out who he is. This is kind of sandwiched between a couple of stories where the disciples are trying to work out, is Jesus the Messiah? Is he the one who is promised, or is he just a good lead? Like, they're still trying to come to terms with who this Jesus is. You've got the crowd who are wanting Jesus to be this miracle worker, the one who kind of, you know, performs at will. Show us a sign, they say. Do another healing, they demand, right? So there's all these kind of dynamic forces around Jesus' identity, but there's also a lesson in this story for us as to the nature of God's presence and work, the nature of God's influence in the world, particularly as we seek to understand this concept of healing. So let's just have a look at this story once again. They came to Bethsaida, and people have brought this man, and they're begging Jesus to heal him. Jesus has been healing people in the past, and so they brought this man hoping for that same outcome. And then Jesus kind of takes this guy by the hand, leads him outside the village. Now, this is an important little detail here because Jesus, again, is trying to push back against this theme that is emerging of him just simply being a healer. And he doesn't want to be known as just a healer, right? And so you can see that he takes this blind man outside the village. Then he does something quite bizarre, but not unprecedented. He spits on the man's eyes and puts his hands on him, and then he asks, "Do you see anything? Do you see anything?" And the man does see something, but not as much as we want him to. He says, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." So mid-story, this is a little bit anticlimactic. If you are a fan of putting your trust in Jesus, what we want from Jesus is for the healing to take place and boom, his sight is restored. Why do we have this kind of interlude where we're like, did that not go to plan, Jesus? Like, this isn't exactly kind of the outcome that we're looking for, even if you're a gospel hearer or reader. Like, if the story was to stop here, you'd be kind of like, cool, So Jesus is kind of like a half-baked Messiah. He's like he did something that he can see people, but they're kind of like trees walking around. And a skeptic, right, might jump on this, right? Or a true believer might even be a little bit embarrassed. After all, Jesus is supposed to deliver the goods, right? He's supposed to heal and he's supposed to transform and it's supposed to be in the moment. I mean, was there not enough kind of miracle juice in him? Did he get distracted at the last moment and so suddenly it didn't quite work? You know, these are the kind of arguments that the skeptic might jump on when it comes to this particular healing. And yet, I want to invite us today to ask a better question. And it's this one. Is your experience of healing one that has taken time? Is your experience of healing one that has taken time? Now, when I talk about healing and we read about healing in the scriptures, so often we go deliberately, like, you know, instinctively to blindness or muteness or someone who's paralyzed or someone who's demon-possessed, because these are the kind of stories that like emerge from the scriptures. But when I'm talking about healing, right, and I'm positing this question to you, healing isn't just about those particular physical or spiritual ailments. In fact, healing can be a lot of things. Yes, physical, but also let's not pretend that there isn't emotional healing that so many people need to go through as a result of the pain and the trauma that they have experienced. People are healing or requiring healing from addictions, whether they be, you know, things that are extreme or whether they just simply to be kind of practices that you've adopted or developed over time that you haven't been able to break. You know, healing isn't just physical. It can be emotional. It can be to do with addictions. It can be to do with the very much the self-talk that we speak over ourselves. I'm actually broken. I'm hurt because I'm defined by some words that have been spoken over me for a long time or maybe consistently, and actually I need healing from that. So let's just not relegate healing to the physical, right? All of us have a process of healing going on in our lives. There are parts of our life that need to be renewed, restored, transformed. And let's be honest, when we talk about faith and we talk about crazy words like sanctification in church, what we're kind of talking about really is this refining and renewing healing that God wants to do in our lives. It's like where you are, how you have been subjected to the enemy and the falsehood and the selfishness of this world, it has caused you to become something, and I want to draw you out of that into greater levels of healing. And to be honest, most of our experience, at least my experience, has been a healing that has taken time. Because the truth is, most people won't experience transformation in a moment. Some people do. It's amazing. God just like does this work in their heart and the Spirit transforms something and they are either renewed or they're healed. And we've got stories even from our own congregation where that has taken place. And yet, a majority of people's stories where they're working through that pain or they're working through that injury or they're working through that falsehood is not that something switches in the moment. It's grueling. It takes time and energy and effort over and over again. But this is important for us to recognize because, again, Jesus' ministry and even his messiahship as the one who comes to save was actually not primarily about temporary healing, because these examples, these are just temporary, right? This is a temporary healing. In fact, what Jesus was inviting his followers to do, and he was encouraging people to do, was to trust him. That's what his mission was about, the invitation to trust him through life's experience. And that's why I, out of all the healing stories in the Bible, I love this one so, so much. I want you to note these details that are just so beautiful. In verse 23, he took the blind man by the hand. Something about that turn of phrase that he's just like, I'm taking you by the hand and I'm moving with you. I'm journeying with you to a place where something can take place. And then we get this detail. He'd spit on the man's eyes and put his hands in him. Jesus asked, do you see anything? It's like he's inviting him to be part of this process of healing. You see, I believe that whatever our pain is, whatever area of life that we need healing, and you will know that better than I, this is what Jesus does. He takes us by the hand. He begins a healing work in our life. And then he asks, do you see anything? This is what Jesus does. For a majority of our experiences of pain and that pursuit and that prayer toward healing, this is what Jesus does. We open ourselves up to him, and he takes us by the hand. He begins this healing work in our life, challenging that falsehood, soothing that anger, bringing healing to our physical ailments. And then he says, do you see anything? Have you noticed? Have you noticed what has taken place so far? You see, God does heal at times through these miraculous transformations, but most people are going to experiencing this kind of healing. When there's been pain or addiction, God's influence is like a balm rather than an extraction. It's not like he's just like, well, that's bad, gone, right? Let's be honest, you might have had that experience in some way or form, but the majority of people that I talk to, people of incredible faith, that's not their experience. Because Jesus' invitation is to trust us through that process, and the process of healing is a process of taking us by the hand, moving us one step forward, right? Doing a bit of work that needs to be done and saying, hey, do you see anything? Have you noticed a change? This is our experience, not so much a resolution, but a movement. And I love how in this story, he wants the blind man to acknowledge the change, even if the transformation isn't complete. He's like, the blind man, like he asks the blind man, like, I mean, I'm kind of curious. I don't know whether Jesus is asking it rhetorically or whether he knows what the blind man is saying. Like, we don't actually have an awareness of Jesus' own awareness in that moment. But he invites the man to say, hey, tell me what you see. Do you see anything? He doesn't say, yep, you're done, sorted. He's like, do you see anything? He invites the man into the process. And this is the amazing thing, right? Often we don't see our own transformation. Others see it. We don't often see it ourselves. I think of so many stories in my own experience, and you'll have yours as well, but I think of, at a previous church, I'm not going to share any stories from this particular congregation. I think about a young man I worked with years ago. We'll call him Isaac. And this kid arrived in our youth group, and he was 15 years old. They'd come over from Canada, and he was with his mom and his young sister. And they just suffered a divorce. He'd just gone through a divorce, and this kid also had some mental health issues. There was a lot of pain in his life, but he'd come along to church, and the mum had said, "Hey, can you just get around Isaac because this kid's hurting." And I remember initially my encounters with him. You know, he was really, really staunch, kind of stoic, kind of like, "No, there's nothing going on in my life." And yet at the same time, we could see through his expression of his behavior and the dysfunction and getting into some things like drug addiction and getting into some gangs and this kind of stuff. We're like, man, this kid's hurting. He's hurting on the inside. And so myself and another youth leader, we were really committed to this guy's, Simon and myself, we were committed to this kid. And we've been praying for him. We're like, God, we want you to break through, right? And this is our prayer, right? When we see this, we pray. It's like, God, can you transform this kid's life? Can you like just take away that pain? Can you like instill immense amount of wisdom in him that just is like supernatural so that he will make wise choices? Like we pray these prayers boldly and in faith. And guess what? It didn't happen that day. But each week we would catch up with him. And we'd ask how he was going. And when he went AWOL, we'd find him. And we check in with the mum and we keep praying for him. And moment by moment, you could see something transform in his life. It was actually one of the things was that he struggled to trust. He struggled to understand what it meant to be loved. And yet between a group of us, we were just kind of getting in his word and we were teaching him that he was worthy because that's what Jesus would do, right? And moment by moment, we kind of saw this transformation, and it wasn't instantaneous, and it certainly wasn't quick. But we journeyed with him, and that was cool. Except then I had to go. And the healing wasn't done. And Simo, the other youth leader, he had to go too, and the healing wasn't done. And yet just the other day, I was on Facebook, which I rarely am, by the way, if you ever try to get in contact with me. And I happened to see a post from this kid who's no longer a kid. He's an adult. And I saw him, and it was a picture of him with a description of him having found an incredible partner. But core to the message that he shared was just the faithfulness of God in and through all his circumstances. He shared this long post about his past and his history and the pain and the drug addiction and the broken relationships and how God had brought him from that place through providential people, not just me, people, right? Who had each done maybe a little bit of spitting and a little rubbing on the ice, who had each done a little taking by the hand, and every so often asking, hey, do you see anything, right? And there was this guy who was sharing his testimony publicly about his faith, and he had this partner, and he had this job, and he was working over in Alaska doing amazing things, and you could see, and this is the thing that struck me, I could see that, like, the health in his face. You know when you can see that someone is filled and alive? And I was like, that guy, man, how many times did Jesus take him by the hand? I mean, it would have been cool had everything just shifted in that moment. Praise God. But most of our stories are not like that. Most of us are like this blind man. I love this detail here. Notice in verse 22, it says, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. So some people brought him. This is an important detail. You see, unlike some of the other healings that we find in the Gospels, this man didn't, at least in the text, personally ask for healing. Some people, had brought this man to Jesus. And I think for us, this again, speaking to the nature of God's presence and power, but also to the nature of healing, I think it's important to understand that Jesus was deeply interested in this man's journey of trust. Because, again, it wasn't just about the miracle. This man would see, which would be excellent. He would live his life, and he would die. Because that's how it goes. Healing is temporary. And Jesus, throughout his mission, didn't want to just be a healer, though it was a demonstration of his power and authority. He wanted to invite people to trust. And he was interested in this man's journey of trust. He is interested in our journey of trust when it comes to healing. And I love this because he's like, I see people, they're like trees walking around. And you got to wonder what's going through the mind of that blind man in that moment. Is he thinking, all right, maybe this is as good as it gets? Or will he invite Jesus to heal again, to continue that work? You see, Jesus is interested in our journey of trust. There's going to be times where there's moments where we move from one place to another and we feel a little bit more of that balm of the Spirit and that healing process, but we've got to continue to invite Jesus to continue to do the work. Because this isn't just a journey of healing, though he wants that for us. Of course he wants that for us. And we're going to be in heaven one day. There's going to be no pain, right? So we start to experience this reality today. He desires that for us. But nevertheless, this journey is not one to do with physical healing. It is to do with trusting in our Creator God. And what I love is how this ends. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And Jesus sent him home saying, don't even go and tell anyone in the village. which again is a little mysterious to us, but again, it points to the intimacy that Jesus had with this man and that invitation he extended to trust, right? This isn't about the show. This isn't about my status. This isn't about that. No, no, no. This is about you and me and the journey we're doing right now. You see, even though this healing story is a little bit mysterious in that we see it takes a couple of attempts, so to speak, the gospel writer still makes it absolutely clear. Jesus has the power to heal and can bring full clarity, right? And so victory over death and pain we can be assured of. But this healing story is good news. It is subversive. It is gospel. Because deep down, and this might fly against what you instinctively feel, but deep down we don't just want a God who can transform, but a God we can trust. Right? Deep down, like in our inner being, we don't just want a God who can transform, we want a God who can trust. We can trust Him. And this is what this story captures so brilliantly. You see, God's priority in any healing process is to invite us to see, to trust. Because it isn't just about that moment. It is about this kind of refining movement that we can all participate in if we let Him. And so I want to finish with a couple of questions. Short sermon today. One point. I simply want to ask, in that area of pain, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be financial, whether it be to do with a parenting-child relationship that's askew, whether it's because of a falsehood that is within you that you have not been able to shake, or a threat outside of you that still prompts fear within you, whatever that pain, will you allow Jesus to touch that? Will you allow Jesus in to that space? Because that's a choice. And if you do, or if you have, will you allow Jesus to touch that pain once more? Because there are some people probably sitting here who invited Jesus into a painful space. And maybe you can't see it, but He has begun a healing work. He is doing a healing work. But because it isn't what you hoped for yet, there's some resentment. And that second question, will I invite Jesus in again, is a real one. And yet here we have in the Gospels, in the good news story about who Jesus is, a story of healing where Jesus, the Messiah, healed a man through a couple of goes. Not because He didn't have the power to heal him in the moment, but because He wanted this man who had been brought by others to learn to trust. Because to trust is eternal. So let's just take 30 seconds now to consider. What is that area of my life that I need to allow Jesus to touch, or perhaps touch again? Jesus, we take a moment as a community, but also as individuals, to acknowledge that that healing work isn't just for someone else. Because there's work that you want to do in our lives. And God, you know that. You meet us where we're at. You love us. You forgive us. And yet, God, I want to pray that each of us would learn to trust you deeply in some of those most painful parts of life. You are the God of resurrection. You are the God who brings life out of death. And many of us are feeling a certain kind of death in areas of life right now. And so may your Holy Spirit and its healing balm not just extract that out of us, but God, will we learn to trust as we navigate through it? As we see people walking like trees, would we invite you to once again move and speak? We pray this in your name. Amen.